The best intro in all of talk radio. That is Zarathustra by Richard Strauss. And this is Eurofolk Radio. Today is March 30th. We're almost done with March. And today's show is going to start with Isaiah 55. How are you doing, Dan?
I am fantastic. How about you?
Yeah, I'm getting better. I'm getting over that. Had a long period of a bout with cold and congestion, but I think I need to get back to my ketogenic diet. Okay. So I got off of that. Yeah, go ahead.
The less sugar you can consume, the better.
Yeah. I just realized it contributes. Sugar and starch literally contributes to phlegm, right? And so I got to get back to my ketogenic diet because let's face it, folks, starchy food, it's cheap. It's cheap.
Yeah.
You know, and real whole wheat. Well, actually, even whole wheat is not that good because it's got too much starch in it. But good fruits and vegetables, real fruits and vegetables, and meat. Okay, that's basically the ketogenic diet. And I got to get back to that to reduce the phlegm that is caused by the starchy diet. Okay, that's our food lesson for today. We're going to go into Isaiah 55. Over to you, Dan.
Okay. Last week we covered chapters 53 and 54, and 53 was about Yeshua. Mm-hmm. And we saw that of course, the Jews deny that it is, and they don't even read that chapter.
Right.
They skip over it, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
And
they skip over the entire book of Daniel, as we'll see when we get to Daniel. Okay.
I can't hear you.
Oh, yeah, we had a glitch there. Can you hear me now?
Hello? Now yeah, I can hear you, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, okay. All right, so let's get to it. So we just covered Isaiah 53 and 54 because those two chapters are ignored by the Jews, and the Jews ignore the entire book of Daniel, too, as we'll find out. But, okay, so Isaiah 55, over to you.
In fact, they ignore most of the Bible.
That's right. That's right. Well, interesting. I'm glad you said that because, go ahead.
I said their main book is the Talmud.
That's right. Yeah, and the shows that Michael Sweet and I have been doing, we did a six-part series on the Masoretic text to demonstrate how the Masoretic text has been altered from the original Hebrew in numerous ways. I mean, numerous ways. The Masoretic text was composed by the Pharisaic rabbis over a 1,000-year period, and they added words like Jew and Gentile, and all kinds of really horrible translations of particular words and phrases. Fortunately, we have the Septuagint and the Dead Sea Scrolls, and even now some fragments of the entire book of Isaiah is extant in the Dead Sea Scroll. So it would be interesting to compare, although I don't know if anybody's actually done a translation of Isaiah directly from the Dead Sea Scrolls. That would be interesting. It would be interesting to compare. But that be that as it may, we have a guy in England who has translated the Bible from the Old Testament from the Hebrew. And it's Christopher Sparks. And he calls it the Keys of the Kingdom Holy Bible. And he is an Identian. And so we actually now have, in addition to Pastor Steve's version, which is really bulky, we have Christopher Sparks' Kingdom Bible, which is available. Actually, it's on the front page of Eurofolk Radio, the link there. And I'll put a direct link to it in the links page of Eurofolk Radio so people can order this Bible from him. A friend of mine in Australia wanted a copy. I said, well, I'll put you in touch with Christopher. And I guess it turned out to be like $128. shipping from London to Sydney, right? It's a long way. But the same is true for our books. My book, The Great Impersonation, it costs more to ship it from America to Europe than it does to publish it, right? So that's the nature of the game right now. All right, so let's get to it.
Okay, chapter 55. Ho, everyone that thirsts, come ye to the waters, and he that has no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness.
Why do you give your money to John Hagee and Joel Osteen, you dummy?
Yeah, I
All
think
right.
the food and all he's talking about here is the word
Yeah,
of
doc,
Yahweh,
yes.
not
Amen. Amen. Okay.
not little food. Verse 3. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not. To thee, because of Yahweh thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified thee. Seek Yahweh while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto. For he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith Yahweh. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down, and the snow from heaven, and returns not thither, but waters the earth, and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to Yahweh for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off.
Okay, so we have a couple of instances here of additions that are completely unnecessary. In 55:11, it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. You can delete that entirely. It shall prosper whereto I sent it. There's no point in inserting those three words in the thing. No point at
Not
all,
necessary.
right? And in verse 12, the trees of the field shall clap their hands. You can eliminate the word there. It shall clap hands. Okay. Most people will realize, well, trees don't really have hands. So they'll get it, right? Without inserting the word there. Now at the bottom of verse 14, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. In that case, I think the word that is better English, right? For an everlasting sign shall not be cut off. But even there, it isn't necessary. So I don't know why the King James, maybe the translation committee is, maybe they're just trying to do proper English. Maybe that's all they're trying to do here. But
I think
most of
so.
it's, yeah, most of it's not necessary. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, chapter 56. And this one isn't titled, or that the first 8 verses are titled Salvation for Foreigners. At least in the Esorb, that's how they have it titled. Thus saith Yahweh, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that does this, and the son of man that lays hold on it, that keeps the Sabbath from polluting it, and keeps his hand from doing any evil.
There you go.
Neither let the, I'm sorry.
I said, there you go. Keep the Sabbath and be righteous. That's all there is to
Yeah.
it.
Neither let the son of the stranger, and in this instance, the word stranger is translated nekar, that has joined himself to Yahweh, speak, saying, Yahweh has utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus saith Yahweh unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths, and choose the things that please me, and take hold of my covenant. Even unto them will I give mine house, and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off.
Okay, well, if
Also,
eunuchs are acceptable, so should everybody else, all races, even Jews, right? But course, we're talking about Israelite eunuchs, and
right.
I understand it that the, I guess now a lot of these eunuchs were not voluntary eunuchs, but Paul talks about a person who. If he's got an overwhelming sexual desire and he can't control it, he can be, what's, is there a verb for it? He can be
Castrated.
eunuchized. Yeah, castrated. There you go. Yeah. And okay, anybody got a really sharp knife? Okay. All right, please continue.
Verse 6. Also, the sons of the stranger that join themselves to Yahweh to serve him and to love the name of Yahweh to be his servants, everyone that keeps the Sabbath from polluting it and takes hold of my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. Y'all, the Lord God, that's weird how they put that in here sometimes. Anyway, the Lord God, which gathers the outcasts of Israel, says, yet will I gather others to him beside those that are gathered unto him. And these last three verses are titled Israel's Irresponsible Leaders.
Tell us about it.
Yeah. All ye beasts of the field come to devour, yea, all ye beasts in the forest. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain from his quarter. Come ye, say they, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant.
Okay, I think this is a prophecy of the Catholic priest. Give me some wine. Give me that wine, right? Actually, this prophecy of priests that go astray, I mean, terribly astray, is true of virtually all religions. Where I recently saw a documentary on Buddhist priests in the faraway remote recesses of the Himalayas, right? And the narrator said, the Buddhist priests have a real problem with alcohol. So you get it. The drunken
That
monk
doesn't
is,
surprise me.
yeah, right. So drunken monk is not unusual, all right, in any religion. All right, back to you.
Think organized religion
Oh.
almost always becomes corrupt
That's right.
because we do not, as human beings, we don't handle power very well.
No.
And it goes to our heads. It
I
goes
don't
to
have that.
most people's heads.
I don't
And
have that problem.
that's why Yahweh wanted to be our king, but our
That's right.
ancestors did not want that.
That's right. Yeah, human leader. Well, imams, various priests, rabbis. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Virtually all of them are corrupt. And
Yeah, everywhere
what
you
happened?
look, whenever there's
Yeah.
organized religion and you have a power structure, you always got that person or people at the top that are going to abuse it, let it go to their heads, and they're going to abuse it because we can't handle power and fame. That's a bad thing. It really is
Well, I think
for
actually the
most people.
worst, Islam is the worst example of that, where there is no regulation of the local imams at all. And that's why you have all these honor killings where women are executed for when they're the victims of being raped. Nevertheless, they're the ones who get the blame. I mean, it's really degenerate what they do to their women. It is totally degenerate. Now,
Don't
when they,
they have to
yeah.
go around with their face covered, don't they?
Oh
And
yeah, well, yeah, typically, yeah, right.
the women
But
do, yeah.
And so this is something that is really awful. I mean, I don't think there's a worse example of the priesthood being totally corrupt than in Islam.
Abuse of power.
Yeah,
Yeah.
abuse of power, exactly. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, chapter 57. The righteous perish, and no man lays it to heart, and merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. He shall enter into peace, they shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. So, really, what he's saying here is that good people pass away and the godly often die in their time, but no one seems to care or wonder why. And no one seems to understand that God is protecting them from the evil to come.
Right.
And
Now,
for those who follow godly paths, they're going to rest in peace when they die.
right. Now here is where I would put an insertion on verse 2. I would insert, they shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his own uprightness. See, we're talking about,
Yeah.
okay. So, but contrasting that to the unrighteous who have their own unrighteousness, right? But they consider themselves righteous as well. All right, back to you. Okay.
Verse 3. But draw near hither, ye sons of the sorceress,
Oh,
the seed of the adulterer and the whore.
okay.
So I guess we're talking about the offspring of these
Right.
adulterers and prostitutes
Yeah, exactly. And priests, the
and
priests are the
priests.
ones who are messing around with these adult whores, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Didn't they, speaking of that, didn't they have that in the, that was part of the problem that they were having is these priests would have prostitutes in the temple
Right. Oh yeah.
We're
Well,
again abusing their power and
right. Well, actually, yeah, I did a study, a video study on that, the Mystery Babylon, right? The priests, the banker priests of Mystery Babylon. I should really do that and again, and condense it, because the history, because Mystery Babylon in the Book of Revelation. It talks about whoredoms, the whoredoms of the priesthood and the bankers. And it began in Egypt where the traveling salesmen in their caravans going on the spice trail from Egypt all the way to China, they when they finally landed in Egypt, they would partake of the services of the temple priestesses, so-called, right? And so they would charge a few shekels for that service, and it was the priests of the temple that stored all the gold and silver in the basement, and that became the first bank. All right?
Wow, that's
Okay.
interesting.
Yeah, isn't it? And then fast forward to London, 1694, where the Jewish banksters used Cromwell to invade Britain, cut the head off of Charles I, prop up Charles II, and they used prostitutes to lure him into establishing a private bank called the Bank of England. Okay? That's become standard operating procedure for bankers to use prostitutes and other kinds of, well, what we're talking about here, of course, is bribery and blackmail. Bribery and blackmail. Okay. Yeah. All
Wow, they
right.
never taught us all this in
Oh,
school.
no, that's not in the economics textbooks. No way. All right. Okay.
All right, interesting stuff. Verse 4. Against whom do you sport yourselves? Against whom make ye a wide mouth and draw out the tongue? Are you not children of transgression, a seed of falsehood? Inflaming yourselves with idols under every green tree, slaying the children in the valleys under the cliffs of the rocks. Among the smooth stones of the stream is thy portion. They that are thy lot, even to them hast thou poured a drink offering. Thou hast offered a meat offering. Should I receive comfort in these? Upon a lofty and high mountain hast thou set thy bed. Even thither wentest up thou to offer sacrifice. Behind the doors also, and the posts hast thou set up thy remembrance, for thou hast discovered thyself to another than me, and art gone up. Thou hast enlarged thy bed, and made thee a covenant with them. Thou lovest their bed where thou sawest it.
Okay, so probably talking more about more prostitution with other races, other people. Okay, enlarges thy bed. What's a, how big is your bed? All right. Okay. The question of the eons, how big is your bed?
And I think in this verse 8, it's talking about putting up, they put the pagan symbols on
Oh
their
yeah.
doorposts.
Right. They have the cross out in the main lobby, but in the back room there's all kinds of idols, right? Yep. Yeah, like John Hagee has that six-pointed star, the Star of Remphan.
How did that ever get to be called the what is it? They call it the Star of David, and it's not
Right.
even that's not what
No.
it is at all.
No, it's named after some Rabbi David in the Middle Ages. Yeah, he's the one who
Oh,
invented it.
okay.
That's
That's
right.
that
Yeah.
David.
Yeah. No, now, if I say it's the Star of Rabbi David, they might think of David in the Old Testament, but it's not true. Okay. He was not a rabbi. He had his own altar, which by, from which he worshiped Yahweh, okay, and made personal sacrifices, but it was not an altar of idol worship. Okay. So, but yeah, he was. Well, he should have been a priest. I guess he really wasn't a priest, but he should have been. He was way more righteous than most Israelites, that's for sure. Yeah.
Now, we were talking about these temples were defiled. They had prostitutes in them. So
Yeah.
on the outside, they would look, I guess, all holy and good. And then if you knew the right people, you got to go to the back to be with the prostitutes.
Right.
That's pretty much how it would work, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, we got a special 2 for 1 today.
Two for one.
The Jews invented that scam,
The two
right?
for one.
Yeah, right. That keeps the customer in place, right? He won't, he can't, he won't leave like he normally would.
Okay, verse 9. And thou went to the king with ointment, and did increase thy perfumes, and did send thy messengers far off, and did debase thyself even unto hell. Thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way, yet saidst thou not, there is no hope. Thou hast found the life of thy hand, therefore thou wast not grieved. You wearied yourself by such going about, but you would not say it's hopeless. You found renewal of your strength, and so you did not faint.
Yeah.
Verse 11.
Okay.
And of whom hast thou been afraid or feared that thou hast lied and hast not remembered me, nor laid it to thy heart? Have not I held my peace even of old, and thou fears me not?
Okay.
So are you afraid of these idols? Do they terrify you? Is that why you have lied to me and forgotten me, speaking of Yahweh and my words?
Right. Well, I take care of this. I'd say most of the pre and most people who get involved, like getting involved in an addiction, you don't really intend to become an addict, right? But
True.
for example, in the 1960s, while I was in college, drugs were everywhere. Marijuana, mescaline, LSD, et cetera, et cetera. And I did indulge. I have to admit that I indulged. I never had to buy any. It was just everywhere. You go to a party and, everybody's smoking pot. There's different kind, what do you call it? A potpourri, a smorgasbord. There you go. A smorgasbord of drugs, du jour. Okay. And that's what life was like growing up in the 60s. I feel sorry for all the rest of you who didn't grow up in the 60s. But I realized that, hey, because having taken LSD for a few trips, I can't be doing like this much longer because I'm sure I'm rotting my brain cells, right? And so I cut it off and haven't done any of that stuff since. Okay. Yeah, but it's so easy to get addicted into it and never stop, especially if you
Oh,
got the money. Yeah,
I'm sure.
especially if you have the money to buy it. Yeah.
Something else I can see that would be very easy to get addicted to is pain medication. You know, you get an injury, say you're getting a car accident, and they give you some pain medicine. And like when I've had my surgeries, they've given me pain meds, and I could see how that stuff could be very addictive,
Oh,
you
yeah.
know.
Yeah. I can't remember her name, the singer for the famous rock band. It was a British American combination of performers. And the lead singer, a blonde American lady, she got addicted to painkillers, even though she didn't really need them. Right? Okay. Oh, I hurt my pinky. Where's the painkiller? Right? And she really got addicted to that stuff. And fortunately for her, it didn't ruin her life, but it caused her problems because, well, she's ultra rich. She can afford painkillers. So, but nevertheless, you really have to be careful because it's a slippery slope once you start taking all of these medications. Yeah, you're absolutely right. The allopath, and of course, the medical establishment wants you to get addicted, right?
Oh,
They're the
yeah,
pushers.
no
They're the real
doubt.
pushers. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah. The main drug pushers are the big pharma.
Yeah, right. That's right. Okay.
And the thing about the interesting thing about the pain pills, the few that I took, yeah, they made the pain go away, but it seemed like when it wears off, the pain comes back and it's twice as bad as it was before you took the pain
Ha.
meds.
Oh, is it?
So
Okay.
for me, it
Yeah.
was just I don't even want to take it because
Right.
it's great while you're taking it, but you don't want to be on this roller coaster ride, it seemed like, you know, when it wears off, you hurt twice as much, it seemed
That's
like.
right. Yeah. Yeah, all that pain that you didn't experience, it's stored up. It's stored up in the background for when you stop doing the drug. Yeah. You
So
can't win for
yeah,
losing. Yeah.
I can definitely see how that stuff would be easy to get addicted to, you know.
Okay. All right. Okay, very good. Yeah, we're learning a lot today. And our personal experience has come to bear on this as well. All right. Okay, back to
Yeah.
you.
All right. Verse 12. I will declare thy righteousness and thy works, for they shall not profit thee. In other words, he's going to expose their so-called good deeds, and
Right.
none of them are going to help. When you cry, let the companies deliver thee, let thy companies deliver thee, but the wind shall carry them all away. Vanity shall take them, but he that puts his trust in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain. So let's see if your
Yes.
idols are going to save you. That's what he's
Yeah.
saying here.
Right. Actually, this verse, I wonder if Kansas, the rock band, Because the lead guitarist, Kerry Livgren, was actually a Satanist, but he converted to Christianity and he wrote a song called Dust in the Wind. And I
Yep,
wonder
I
if
remember
that,
that song.
yeah, it was a fantastic song. And I remember when my band performed in Chicago at the Thirsty Whale. No, it was the Iron Rail. Sorry, the Iron Rail. And that song was playing on a jukebox while the band was taking a break, and I remember hearing one girl say, "I hate that song. I hate that song." I said, "Man, why would you hate that song? I think the lyrics are off-putting to people who are egotistical. You know, all you are is dust in the wind, right? That's very humbling. Very humbling."
It
I
is.
said, "Yeah, okay.
Because
Great
it's
song."
saying all the, everything in this world is just temporary. It's
Yeah,
all transitory.
exactly,
Everything.
exactly. So that's a very insightful song, you know. But if you're not inclined to be philosophically thinking, yeah, you might say, this song doesn't make any sense. Doesn't speak to me, put it that way." Okay.
Yeah, because I'm something special.
Yeah,
Everybody's going to
right.
remember.
Yeah. I'm so beautiful and funny and what's the word I'm looking for? Vivacious, right? I don't that song doesn't apply to me.
Yeah, couldn't apply
Okay.
to me. Not
No.
one of the great ones like
Yeah,
myself.
right. Yeah. And actually that's kind of a especially in the modern world where these women think so highly of themselves, right? Self-glorification. Oh, I'm so beautiful. Every man should want me. The richest man in the world should marry me so I can, you know, so I can live fancy free and without having to pay a fee, right? Right? And yeah, I mean, especially the younger teenage girls who think like that, they'll learn otherwise. And it won't take long. Right.
I mean, we're all going to be humbled at
That's
in
right.
the end. We're all humbled in the end. And none of us is any better than the other, regardless of
That's
what
right.
we look like, how smart we are, how much money we have. It doesn't matter in
Yeah,
the
we all
end.
have our own temptations to deal with, and it takes a great amount of humility to deal with them. Yeah.
Absolutely. All right, verse 14. And shall say, cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. I think he's talking about here, clear away everything, and so my people can return from captivity. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. For I will not contend forever, neither will I be always wroth, for the spirit
Okay.
should fail before me, and the souls which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth, and smote him. I hid me, and was wroth, and he went on frowardly in the way of his heart. I have seen his ways, and will heal him. I will lead him also, and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is far off, and to him that is near, saith Yahweh, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked.
Amen. It's too bad that Trump never cleaned up the swamp.
No,
Talk
he
about
didn't. He made it worse.
mire and dirt.
Yeah. In addition, he's the one that brought in the vaccine and bragged about it.
That's right.
And
Amen.
I voted for him in 2016. I actually
So
voted.
did I. That was the one mistake I made in my whole life.
It was a mistake, yeah.
Oh, that's for sure.
Okay, chapter 58. And this is called, the title of this is called True and False Fasting, according to the ESOR, that's their title.
Okay.
Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast you find pleasure, and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as you do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to Yahweh?
I'm holier than you are because I'm fasting and you're not. Right?
In other words, it's show. They're putting on a show.
That's right, right. But in the back room, he's sipping some wine, right?
Verse 6, is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke?
Yeah, so take time out from your... Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
I was just going to say, in other words, what verse 6 is saying is the real fast is should be for those who are, like, those who are wrongly in prison.
Right.
And to let them go free and remove the chains that bind people.
Right. Stop worrying about your own self and be generous and kind to people who need it.
Yeah.
Right.
That's but these the fast fasts that they're doing are for show and to impress other people. That's what
exactly. Exactly. Perfect example of this is when I was working in Chicago, one of my employees, his name was Kurt. He was a really excellent carpet layer, and he had a side job for a Jewish customer. And so now get this. The job was on a Saturday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't the Sabbath forbid work on Saturday, according to the Jews?
That is their day, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Well, Friday evening to Saturday evening, right? And so he was there on a Saturday working, and all of a sudden, I guess it was starting to get late. And so the Jewish lady who's sitting in the kitchen says to him, "Oh, could you turn the light switch on? It's Sabbath, and I can't do that." Right? Okay. Talk about hypocrisy. Yeah.
Yeah, really. One set of rules for them and another for everybody
right.
else.
Yeah. Yeah. But she's just too lazy to get up and turn the light on, right?
That's oh, yeah.
Oh, and she's pretending to be also righteous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're good at that.
Oh, yeah.
Verse 7. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. In other words, the real fasting should be about giving shelter to homeless people, clothes to those who need them, and not hiding from people who relatives who need your help.
Yeah, right. And not be glorifying yourself because you're doing so well on your fast, right?
Right. And letting everybody know about it, too.
Yeah. And I'm having visions of a big, fat roast chicken, right? Can't wait till this fast is over, right?
Verse 8, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of Yahweh shall be thy reward. There's that word re-reward. We covered that last week.
Yeah, right. I never noticed this before, but it's actually fairly common here in Isaiah.
Verse 9, then shalt thou call, and Yahweh shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And Yahweh shall guide thee continually, and satisfy your soul in drought, and make fat your bones. And thou shalt be like a water garden, a spring of water, like a spring of water, whose waters don't fail. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in.
Have the Jews ever built any of the waste places?
No.
No. They have not built a single city or a civilization. They always invite themselves into existing cities,
yeah,
nations, and civilizations. They've never built anything.
Well, they've been thrown out of so many places.
That's right. Yeah. And they know how to weasel their way back in.
Yeah. I mean, what is it? Over 100 different countries,
yeah,
right? Nations and
right,
nation states that they've been thrown out of.
Exactly.
Throughout history.
Exactly. Okay. So I'm looking at this word re-reward. And it doesn't seem to mean anything like the word reward. The Hebrew is asal, to gather for any purpose, hence to receive, take away, that is, remove, destroy, leave behind, put up, restore, assemble, bring, consume, destroy, fetch, gather in, loose, put all together. So it doesn't, or receive, recover. So it doesn't seem to be anything like the word reward, which is something you deserve for a job well done. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So this word re-reward doesn't mean anything like the word reward. So I'm glad I looked at that. Okay.
Yeah. So what would the primary meaning be? What do you think?
It just seemed to be to assemble, to gather. Okay. Shall be thy assembling. So I guess, assembling the people of Israel. Okay. Something
okay,
like that. Yeah. But assembling something, now maybe that could be assembled as a reward, right? But it doesn't seem to suggest anything about, you know, being rewarded for a job well done or anything like that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All
okay.
right.
Mm-hmm. Verse 12. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. Thou
right,
shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. And thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in.
Yeah, it's the Jews who created the breach, right? They're the ones who create the breaches that we have to restore.
That we have to fix, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the restorer of streets to dwell in is what that
Amen.
Means.
Yeah, very good.
Verse 13, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of Yahweh honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thy own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in Yahweh, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth. In other words, give you great honor,
right,
and feed with the heritage of Jacob thy father. For the mouth of Yahweh has spoken it.
No, the Sabbath is for baseball and football and hockey and basketball and soccer. Right, isn't it?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yep, yep.
It's amazing how all those things have been such distractions to us, you know. Throughout history, really, ever since... The gladiators, back in Rome when they would have all the, what is it? All those different ways to keep people entertained.
Well, yeah, bread and circuses. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the Greeks,
today.
I think the Greeks invented the Olympics, if I'm not mistaken. And boy, to talk about an old tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now it does. Now I know we're not supposed to, we're not supposed to work on the Sabbath, but Yeshua, and we'll get to this when we get to the New Testament, actually healed somebody on the Sabbath, and the Jews tried to call him out and say, "Oh, you're working on the Sabbath." Well, that doesn't mean we don't help somebody or we can't help or do a good deed. It just means we're not supposed to be out there trying to earn money and that kind of thing on the Sabbath. It and the Sabbath was made for us. I mean, it says that as well. It's our rest day. It's for us. So we need to, use it for that.
Okay. Brother Hebert, and both Swamp Fox both say it means moral re-reward means something like rear guard. Yahweh shall be your rear guard, re-reward. Okay. So that's
Okay.
yeah, okay. You get
That
he's
makes
got your
sense.
he's got your back.
Yeah.
Hope so. Okay. Yeah, I can't work for money, don't
That
buy
makes
or
sense.
sell. Yeah. No, Asher says very clearly. It is I don't know if he uses the word allowed, but it is all right to do well on the Sabbath. Okay. The Jews are total hypocrites anyway. They do anything they please on the Sabbath. Anything they please. It's all for show. Period. That's all it is. Okay.
The thing is they have rubbed off on us so much that
Oh,
we are worse. Well, what does it say in the New Testament? We become twofold the child of hell than the, because
Amen.
their ways have rubbed off on us so much.
Yeah. Well, they own the football and baseball stadiums that we go to, right?
Yeah,
To
that's
watch
true.
their sports. Yeah. And they own the basketball teams too, right? Okay, yeah. They own everything now.
I mean, and that's not saying you can't enjoy a game every once in a while, but
No.
it's when you put it in front of Yahweh, that's when anything that you do becomes an idol and becomes a problem, you know.
Exactly. The world is full of distractions, and all those distractions take us away from our Lord and Savior Yahweh. No doubt.
He's
Okay.
got to be number one, and then everything else will fall into place, you know.
But on the other hand, the sermons in the churches are so boring that you can't wait to get off.
That's
Can't
true. Well, they aren't
wait to
much of,
get
I mean, they
off.
you don't learn anything.
No, that's right. So I'd rather play golf.
So you sit there in the sermon trying to stay awake and you're thinking about, man, I can't wait to get out there on the golf course. This is going to get out
Yeah,
of
I'm working on a new swing. I think I can drive the ball 500 yards.
here.
Can't wait to try it out. Yes, and cows still need to be milked on the Sabbath. That's right. Thank you, Swamp Fox. There's certain things that have to be done. Okay.
Yeah.
But then you milk the cow and then you worship Yahweh. Okay.
Yeah, it's just common sense, really. You put Yahweh first, you do what's necessary, put him first, and then whatever other work necessities have to be done, you do it. But you always put him first. That's all we got to remember, really.
Beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. My favorite verse in the whole Bible. All
Which,
right.
what is that? I don't have
That's
that verse.
Luke 12:1. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Yeah,
I've
might
heard
as
it
well
before. I
just
didn't know which verse it was, though.
Might as well say Jews. Beware the leaven of the Jews, which is hypocrisy. They're all so practiced at it. So practiced at it. In fact, I was talking with a new lady named Ray, who has contacted me because she's a recent convert. She says she's been practicing identity for only 6 months. And so she watched this video of Candace Owen and Rabbi Barclay, I think his name is. And Candace Owen did such a good job of exposing the hypocrisy of this rabbi and the hypocrisy of Ben Shapiro, because She was an employee of Ben Shapiro's network, right? And Ben fired her right after this interview, which just exposed the hypocrisy of this rabbi. And they said that the reason she was fired was because she was defending the what do you call it, the Palestinians of Hamas and et cetera. And no, that's not the reason. The reason she was fired was because she exposed the hypocrisy of this rabbi, who was just saying anything he pleased without backing it up. And it was obvious. It was really obvious that he was a hypocrite. Okay. The world is learning that the Jews are hypocrites, slowly but surely. All right.
All right, chapter 59. Behold, Yahweh's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. So his arm's not too weak to save you, and his ear is not too deaf to hear you call. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear.
Okay.
He won't hear your prayers if you're not a righteous person. It does say
okay,
that also.
Yeah, All the Judeo-Christians, that this verse is for them. Once saved, always saved, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
No, there's no such thing as sin anymore. I'm sorry. Not true. Okay.
For your hands are defiled with blood,
ooh,
and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies.
Mm.
Your tongue has muttered perverseness. None calls for justice, nor any pleads for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity.
This is so true of the modern churches. That, where's their calls for justice?
Mm-hmm.
Candace Owen has more justice in her than the vast majority of these white Laodicean Christians, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who in pure vanity, assume that they'll be saved because they believe in Jesus. That's all they have to do, and wait to be raptured. That's all they have to do to be saved. Really? Well,
I wish it was that easy.
Gosh. Yeah, right. Yeah, it's as easy as true putt golf, right? That's how easy it is. Oh, man. Yeah, it's all vanity. Solomon was right. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's a shame that if the Bible really was written the way they claim it is, with this once saved, always saved, all you got to do is believe, then why is it so many volumes thick? You know, why do we have so much to read through? Why doesn't it just say that? All you need to do is believe, and you're good to go.
Right. But it doesn't even say that anywhere. It doesn't say once saved, always saved. It's a lie.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And love the sin, hate the sinner. That's another one.
That's right.
That they use, that they like to use.
No, I think you had that backwards. I think it's love the sinner, hate the sin.
Love the sin. Oh, yeah. Love the sinner, hate the sin.
but actually, what you said is really how it is.
That's
right. Okay.
All right. Verse 5. They hatch cockatrice's eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eats of their eggs dies, and that which is crushed breaks out into a viper.
Right.
Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity.
Amen.
And the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goes therein shall not know peace.
This applies to all of the Christian Zionists for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Looking the other way while the Zionists run roughshod over the Middle East.
And they are doing that. They have
been
doing it since 1948.
That's right.
Therefore is judgment far from us. Neither does justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men.
Yeah, that's about Donald Trump.
Yeah.
For sure, right? The man who declared he would clean up the swamp is the swamp.
We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against Yahweh, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood.
Amen.
And judgment is turned away backward, and justice stands afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth fails, and he that departs from evil makes himself a prey. And Yahweh saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of Yahweh from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the spirit of Yahweh shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith Yahweh. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith Yahweh. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith Yahweh, from henceforth and forever.
Okay, just made it under the wire. Very good. All right, good job, Dan. And thanks for listening, everybody. We're running out of time. See you tonight on Restoration Hour. Take care, everybody. Yahweh bless. Bye-bye.
Bye.